Hello and welcome. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noobs Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series I am reading and reacting to the classic novel Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton. I was going to release this yesterday, I believe, but things got a little bit busy for some reason. I remember exactly why. Oh, my wife and I went over to the Y to swim, and I rode the bike while she worked out, and then we went grocery shopping. So I didn't get a chance to record a release yesterday. Therefore, I'm doing it today. That puts me slightly behind schedule because I was going to do 4 episodes this week, but now I'm only going to be able to do 3. And then next week I'll do 3, and then the week after I'll do 3. And that should get me done with some time left to do The Puppy War starting early May instead of late April. And then I should be able to get The Puppy War and The Dragon Republic done in that time to be able to do the new Dragonlance book in August when it releases. In this episode, we're still in the 4th iteration. We will be for this episode and the next. And then obviously after that, we will start the 5th iteration. 4th iteration. Inevitably, underlying instabilities begin to appear. Ian Malcolm. As with previous episodes, I will be using SparkNotes for my summary, and then I will give you my reaction after. Thank you, SparkNotes, for the summary. Again, if you're looking to sponsor somebody, I'd be more than happy. Control. Wu helps Arnold deconstruct the computer program Nedra used to disable the security and power system. Muldoon informs Sattler that she and Harding are going to have to take care of Malcolm. The phone lines are still down, so there is no way to get in touch with a doctor on the mainland. In the park. Trying to get out of the Tyrannosaur paddock, Grant and the kids scale a fence and cross a moat, finally taking shelter in a concrete shed that is filled with hay and equipment. They huddle together and sleep on the hay. Control. Arnold fixes the code and restores power to the park. The computers begin searching for Grant and the kids, but are unable to find them. Malcolm jokes with Harding and appears to be doing better, but Sattler tells Gennaro that he desperately needs to be taken off the island for surgery on his leg. The park. Muldoon heads out to fix a damaged portion of the electric fence. Arnold explains to Gennaro that he thinks Malcolm's interpretation of chaos theory does not apply to the park. Muldoon discovers that the T-Rex has broken into the sauropod paddock. Hammond is livid at the prospect of losing a sauropod and instructs Muldoon to retrieve the T-Rex that night. Muldoon refuses, claiming it is Hammond's fault that they lack the necessary equipment to bring down the Tyrannosaur. Once again, thank you to SparkNotes for that succinct summary. And now for my reaction. Body count. I came up with this section last episode, and already, it's obsolete. Nobody died this section. Hell, even Malcolm looks to be recovered some. So, let's just move on. Science. The science in this section revolves around computers and programming. After my new hero, Henry Wu, saves the day, parenthetically, more on that in a bit, in parenthetical, Arnold spends most of the section trying to undo what Nedry did. Crichton peppers the section with what looks like computer speak. Not literal ones and zeros, but things like service mode, directories, object files, disguised as executables, that type of thing. It looks impressive to the untrained eye. For an experienced programmer such as myself, we see through the slick exterior to the heart of it. Just kidding. As far as I know, all the computer jargon makes sense and works on a practical level, at least. The only thing I found issue with was Nedry's password, Mr. Goodbytes. That's it. No capitals, no special characters. Hell, not even one of the O's as a zero. No self-respecting programmer would ever use such a password, especially one in charge of such sensitive and proprietary information. It's just ridiculous, simply. Wu? Malcolm? Arnold? I used this section last episode to praise, extol the virtues of Henry Wu. Since it looked like Crichton killed off Malcolm, I needed a new nerd hero. Well, guess what? Malcolm's back. Sort of. He's conscious, but full of morphine, and in dire need of medical attention. While I remain cautiously optimistic, I still need to be prepared for the possibility that he falls into a coma or even dies. Arnold stepped up this section. He tracked down Nedry's malfeasance. Furthermore, he undoes much of the damage done in the attack. I considered dedicating this section to him. But arguably, none of that happens without Henry Wu. He suggested the course of action to Arnold. He also helped identify the malware and gave Arnold the idea that it might be an executable. So at the very least, I owe Henry Wu an honorable mention here. As I sat here thinking, I saw this through a different lens. I want to talk about that in the next section. And so, as a result, I dedicate this section, parenthetically, that needs a name, in parenthetical, to John Arnold, with an honorable mention to Henry Wu, as, drumroll please, Real Man of Science. I thought about going with Nerdgasm. It felt weird, so I searched it. It seems to be enough in the zeitgeist to be mostly benign. However, it still feels weird, and I like the callback to the old commercials. Just far enough out of that zeitgeist that some of you kids may have to quote-unquote bing it. Microsoft, as I said, we're looking for a sponsor. Call me. What I liked least. With all that praise heaped on Henry Wu, time to take a break and bring us back to reality a bit. Michael Crichton knows little about computers and programmers. Either that, or he has almost no respect for them. I suppose the two are not mutually exclusive. Let me explain. First, we have Nedry's password. Yes, his access number consists of letters, numbers, and symbols. Only lowercase, though. But if you have that, his password is only lowercase letters. And it is only 12 characters long. Plus, it's a stupid pun. Exhibit A. That can be forgiven. Like I say, the access number is complicated enough as a security measure. What really made me suspicious is Exhibit B. I already alluded to this earlier. John Arnold, chief engineer of Jurassic Park, needed Henry Wu to help identify and translate the program that Nedry used to sabotage the park. Now remember, this is the same Henry Wu who forgot about sequential hermaphroditism. Parenthetically. Is that the most that phrase has ever been said in a podcast? In parenthetical. Arguably, that's closer to his area of expertise than identifying Trojan horse programs on a computer. Admittedly, I don't know a ton about computer programming myself. And yes, this may have partly been a way for me to remind you that I dabbled in some programming. Hey, flex when you can. What do we think? Ignorance or dismissal? I lean towards the latter. What I liked best. The law in action, while annoying, also gives a welcoming chance to analyze things. Hence, the section about Arnold and Crichton's possible bias there. I also noticed the difference between Tim and Lex's reactions to being abandoned and stranded in the park. My brain started to go to the place of helpless woman versus rugged man dichotomy in fiction. Then, I remembered how badass Sattler is throughout the story, and that argument falls apart. Suppose I could respin the argument as, quote, only two female leads, and one of them is a stereotypical hysterical preteen girl, end quote. Especially when juxtaposed with how Tim handles everything, it resonates some. That's not the place for this discussion, though. This is liked best, so keep it positive. Also, unlike my other arguments, this one needs more evidence and to bake more. So while related, let's get explicitly back to what I liked best about this section. Crichton recognized the need for some break from the action. As I said, even though I now talked bad in this section twice, overall respect the decision to make a break. I also said that I welcome the break, even if it sabotaged my new quote-unquote body count section. This time, my voice refused to go back in time to tell Crichton to kill at least one person in this section. Then again, perhaps I anticipated the break. During the entire section, I never expected anyone to die. I mean, it's not that kind of story. But I committed to that format. So maybe in some way, I hoped for another attack or accidental stomping to occur. All I'm saying is that I'm not mad at Crichton for submarining my podcast. Okay, maybe a little. But seriously, I talked last time about one of the jobs as an author. You need to balance action and inaction, so that when something happens, it makes more of an impact. That's why formats like Saw, Game of Thrones, and The Walking Dead don't work. When you try to do it all at once, the shocking becomes commonplace, and you only have more shocking to make that a same impact. Eventually, the product becomes self-parody, and the audience loses interest. Clearly, they never learned the lesson of the boy who cried wolf. Crichton has. This section serves as further proof of that, and I love him for not bowing to sensationalism. A novel about Dinosaur Preserve, by itself, is sensational. I grant you that. But if Kirk or George R.R. Martin wrote it, then there'd be a dino attack every page, or people would be fucking the dinos or something. I don't know. I never read or watched Game of Thrones. My point, once again, is simply, bravo, Mr. Crichton. Final thoughts. This episode saw me going back and forth a bit. Ultimately, though, I want you to leave with the impression that I enjoyed these chapters. The lull in action gave me time to think, providing an opportunity to reflect. And with that reflection came wisdom. The wisdom to understand the need for that break, both to build for the next action scene in the story and to give the audience a chance to rest. Besides, the next section is the end of the fourth iteration. You know he's going to have one hell of a cliffhanger waiting when we get there. So next episode is sure to be full of fun. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us, if you haven't already, at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles. I just put up an article about the latest Marvel comics that I got without Spider-Man and without X-Men, because I'm doing X-Men tomorrow, and because Spider-Man has been terrible lately. I'm almost getting to that point with Hulk as well. The story is really good, as Chris and I have said, but the art is... Anyhow, read the article. You'll get it all there. There's also a link to our YouTube, which has the Daily RPG. I'm behind on that, but I'm working this week on break to get caught up. I should be caught up by the end of the weekend. And then, as I always say, no promises going forward, but we'll see where we end up. I'm hoping to get the Instagram back up and running soon. I've got some ideas for that again, so I'm going to try to put those into play. But again, no promises. If it shows up, it shows up. If it doesn't, then forget I said anything. I will be back with this series in a couple of days, either Saturday or Sunday, depending on how long it takes me to write the notes. I already read the section, and I've got the summary from SparkNotes, so I will talk to you then. Bye, guys. We are